Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and later on in the show, we're going to talk with Ray McKenna. He is the president and the founder of Catholic Athletes for Christ. We're going to hear about that organization, and then right after that, we're going to revisit the chance to listen to the rosary, courtesy of the voice of the great Vin Scully. We'll have a little bit more about that later on in the second half of the show. We're going to kick things off by continuing our road trip throughout the Trinity League and our football previews. And, of course, we land this week at Modern Day High School, the defending Trinity League champions. And we talk with their head coach, Bruce Rawlinson, about this upcoming season and defending their Trinity League title.
The way last year ended, obviously, was not the way the Monarchs wanted to have the season end. Did this team come in with a little bit of chip on their shoulder, the returning kids?
Well, you know, it's a great question, Bob. We had a great year last year, but when you come up short, it's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. I feel bad for the seniors that came so close, but it's probably in the off season. Every 2 or 3 weeks, this football team was reminded. And I'm a theme guy. And our theme this year is Red Discipline, because I feel the talent is there to win this thing. It's not going to be easy. We're still going to have to either play St. John Bosco twice or Corona Centennial. Okay, but you're going to have to go through. And then you've got some other guys that have got some good football teams coming back. But part of Red Discipline, right below it, it says unfinished business. And they're reminded that we have to finish business this year. And what you try to do is come at it in two different directions. One direction is that, okay, you try to use it as a learning lesson. More, they finally know this group, it should be fresh in their memory, what it's like to go from August through early December. Those last 4 weeks are grueling. They're grueling on their bodies. They're grueling on their academics. And it's not just the starters. It's the rest of the team that was solid, who gave us great service looks, who are our scout team players. It has to be a unanimous feeling to win a championship. And then you have to have luck along the way. Right. You have to stay healthy. And if you get to that point, you have to say, okay, what did we learn from 2016? My simple message is when you feel like you're tired and maybe you could do two more reps, do those two reps for December. Do that extra sprint for December. Do that film study for December. And the schedule we've got, if we're not careful, we may not even get to the playoffs, because that's a formidable preseason, and that's a heck of a league we're involved in. But the direct answer to your question is, yeah, there's a bitter taste, and we got to take care of business. We got to finish business.
They don't call it the dog days of summer for nothing.
No, exactly.
Your kids have been looking at one another for a long time. Is it that way every year, where at some point those kids go, hey, I want to look at somebody in a different colored uniform. I'm ready to go, bury my face mask into somebody and go to war with that other team.
Well, and that's a very descriptive way. See, you get to say that, bury your face mask. I get in trouble when I say stuff like that. Remember, too, that this August training was a week longer than the normal. So we had that many more practice days of hot that first week with the humidity and the heat. But that's part of the grind. And I felt they were a little relieved to scrimmage Edison last week. But this is what they've pointed towards. And I guarantee you, when I tell them, okay, we're done, it's time to go to Bishop Aumont, they're going to be pretty goosed up Thursday. But, yeah, the temperament right now is enough is enough. Now, when you switch to game prep, that we're in, yesterday being our first day, at least you're using more service players than you are ones versus ones. You have to cut that down, because the defense needs to see the Bishop Aumont offensive favorite plays and pass, and the offense needs to see primarily the Aumont fronts and blitzes. So that adds a little bit of a new challenge mentally, nobody can get a jump on the play. Nobody can go, okay, I've seen that formation. They have two plays. They run out of that. They can't guess anymore. And you drop it down a little bit. We have good service teams, though, and they're the key to what we're going to do this year if we are going to finish business.
Yeah, so true. You have virtually an entire offense, the offensive unit coming back from a year ago. But your defense is a little young this year. There are a lot of new faces on that side. Is it where you set out and you devote a little more time to the defense because those new faces needed more time this summer to get acclimated?
No, I tell you what, Bob. We're now a two-platoon football team, you know, as of 4 years ago. So we're going to spend just as much time offensively as we do defensively. The only distinction is you're trying out more players to put them under pressure. There's a lot of competition at a lot of positions where it's close. And, you know, we're starting to come to those decisions as to who will start. The thing that's always interesting to me is we've done an average over all the years, and the average is this. 3 to 5 players who start in game one may not start in game two. It was too big for them. They didn't rise up. Or, unfortunately, once in a while, you're going to get an injury, okay? 3 to 5 players who start in the preseason may not start in the league. We look at preseason. Of course, we want to win, but we also look at it as a developmental time period, okay? We're going to play kids, okay? If that competition is close, then they're both going to get reps for us to do a fair evaluation for when it starts to get hot and heavy in the league season. But there's no more emphasis on, you know, our offense, needless to say, has to continue to improve because we're going to put more on it. Yeah. We're going to put more on JT Daniels. We're going to put more on the returners. And the defense, okay, we had to map out an installation plan to have us where we want to be for game one, game two, game six. Where, though, ultimately do we want to be? Where can we hang our hat defensively by the start of league season? In other words, we're not going to change the schemes. That's more personnel. But what do they do better? Man up, zone up, blitz, not blitz. Who's the best blitzers? What are our best scenarios? Okay, offensively, when you have that many players back, we're not going to change much. We're going to enhance the package and do more audibilization and put more power in JT's hands.
You mentioned JT, and you know, obviously at a young age, he's been given a lot of responsibility and has risen to the occasion seemingly every time. I mean, the numbers last year, you know, speak for themselves. Is it imperative to have different looks to give defensive coordinators out there that think they've seen this, you know, to put a few more wrinkles in there to give somebody a different look?
There's two answers to that question. One, JT Daniels can get better, okay? And I look for dramatic improvement from last year in all phases of his game, okay, as well as I expect Amon-Ra to be a better football player, and Nico Remigio or C.J. Parks or whoever. The offensive line should be better, okay? We should not be where we were at in game 14 last year, okay? We're 1 year older, 1 year stronger, so everybody should be a better football player. The key is utilize the offensive line and get the ball into the hands of the weapons. And in our case, we've got a lot of weapons. So design ways of keeping the defense off the balance, getting isolation, and then if you have to, shut her down and slam it. You know, we feel good about the fact that we think last year we were very ineffective at the tight end position. The reality was we didn't have tight ends. Michael Martinez has been a huge plus for this offense. I mean, the kid is almost 6'7", and he's weighing 240. He's going to be a heck of a tight end. We have a kid named Isaiah Alonso who's really, really coming on. Another 6'4 kid for tight end. And he's a converted offensive lineman. We have two or three kids that we don't have to completely rob the defense to play some fullback. So if we need to slow the game down, if we need to pound the rock and settle in a little bit, we can do that. We felt last year that hurt us. We had to stay in 10 personnel. Okay, this year we feel like we can go 21. Okay, we can go 22 with two tight ends and two backs, and we can play a little power football, which only enhances JT's ability for play action pass.
Do you sit around and look at the rest of your league and go, good Lord, what are we into here? I mean, Bosco's going to be Bosco.
Yeah.
Servite's running a new package that they're excited about. Santa Margarita's that much further along into their new regime. I mean, this every team made the playoffs last year. It's crazy to think of how good this league is.
No, you're exactly right. I've said this from the last 4 or 5 years. On any given Friday, one of the big boys could get knocked out.
And it's so true in this league.
It is. It is. And now you've got a lot of movement. There's a lot of transferring going on. It's part of high school now. Okay, do I agree with it? No. I think the CIF does a good job of enforcing the rules. You know, you don't even know what you're going to get personnel-wise. You know, you hear all these rumors. I don't worry about who's getting what and what's going on. Two things I worry about. Don't contact my guys, okay? Right. And secondly, let's develop modern-day football and see where the chips fall. I think with our preseason schedule, we'll be battle-tested. Yeah. When you line them up with an Amat going right to Gorman, okay, and then you're throwing in, you know, La Mirada, who was in the finals, mm-hmm. Bergen Catholic, I think they're 15th in the nation right now, and then this St. Mary's Club, and I got to put them on the road. We'll definitely be ready for league play. The key, again, going back to what I said, just try to stay healthy.
Yeah, so true.
Quick break here on Catholic Sports View. When we come back, we're still out at Mater Dei, and we're going to be talking with some of the players out there, including star quarterback JT Daniels. Much more right here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. To Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and we continue our look at the modern-day high school football program by talking with a group of their football players, including their leader and captain, junior quarterback, JT Daniels.
Obviously, quite an offseason for you. You've had a chance to reflect back on last year, and you also made some big decisions for your future. But what was it like for you to think back to what this last season was and what you want this next one to be?
Last season, it's a lot of great memories. You know, when football season's over, you don't really remember the wins and losses as much. Like, when I look back at it, I just remember all the, you know, the stuff we did in the locker room and all the guys that were on that last year's team and, you know, all the bonds that I have. So, I mean, you know, great season last year, win-wise, stat-wise. But it was an even better season when it comes to, you know, the love you form from it.
A little bit of frustration with the way everything ended at the end of the season?
I mean, you'd like to win every game, but you don't. If you're going to play in the Trinity League and you're going to play against the Pac-5 playoffs and you're going to play Boscos and Centennials, it's not easy to win every game, and sometimes it's, you know, it just doesn't work out your way. So, no, I wouldn't say frustration. I mean, there's certain things you could have done better, so it's a good learning lesson, but no animosity, no hard feelings, no frustration from it.
Obviously, you know, you get a chance to look at film and break that down and maybe, you know, get a fresh perspective on what happened. But even beyond that, what do you take away from last year just as far as, you know, the play on the field and what you want to apply to this year?
I mean, a lot of the same. Our offensively and for me personally, it was a great season all around. There are certain things we learned from, tendencies that we had. We've definitely widened our offense out. And, you know, much more, we have more versatility to us. So you take the good things and fix the bad. You know, it's just the way it is.
We're going to talk with Amon-Ra and CJ. It helps to have guys like that surrounding you, right?
Yeah, and you didn't even talk to Nico or Brew.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And my tight end, Big Mike, yeah. A whole offensive line returning. And Jacoby and Chris Street in the backfield. Yeah, no, they make my job a lot easier.
I know, obviously quarterbacks get most of the attention, you know, good and bad, right? You know, yeah. when you make a great pass, everybody loves it. When you throw an interception, right, it's always on you. But I know every good quarterback loves to give the credit to the people around him, especially that offensive line.
I can't do anything else but that because I do have such a great team around me. You know, I have, like, I think last year I had literally 125 offers in that receiving core. In Osiris, Amon-Ra, Brew, CJ, and Nico. I mean, I have an offensive line that can protect me for probably 9 seconds on plays. I mean, I just have those kind of weapons.
When you look at your future, obviously you made a big decision in this offseason to attend USC in a couple of years. Yeah, how big was it to get it kind of out of the way at this point and make that decision?
It was definitely important for the season and what's coming up, and it was a good way to get my priorities set. You know, if I can end recruiting before season starts, then when season comes, there's no other focus but football and school. Yeah.
Did you enjoy the process?
I did. It was definitely, I mean, certain parts of it were fun, certain parts were annoying, but overall, the recruiting process is a blessing.
You're sick of guys like me asking you these questions, right?
Yeah. You get them a lot, but you get used to it. Right.
This is your junior year. For a lot of these guys, it's their senior year. Yeah. Obviously, you want to send them out their senior years with some great memories and hopefully a big-time championship at the end of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like that's always the plan, you know. We'll do the best we can and whatnot.
What have you been working on with Coach Money, with your teammates here, that maybe is a different look that you're going to give defenses this year than they saw, you know, when you were putting up all those, you know, video game type numbers a year ago?
Yeah, that's going to be for the defenses to find out. Not much I'm going to give away over the radio, but there's some new stuff coming at you.
Visiting with Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, this offense, the sky's the limit, right?
Yes, sir. 10 of 11 starters returning back on offense, so we should be pretty good this year on offense.
You know, I was talking earlier, what are you guys doing maybe a little different this year to throw a wrinkle at some defenses and show them a little something different?
Yeah, I mean, I think Coach Money made a lot of changes in our offense this offseason. A lot of new plays, a lot of new formations, a little bit more huddling up. So that would be something new this year.
Is there another level you guys have in you? I mean, the numbers were like video game numbers between you and JT a year ago. Is there another level in your game and maybe his game as well?
Definitely. I think we can definitely do some more damage, more than we did last year. You can always do more than you did a year before. So I think our goal is definitely higher than it was last year, because, I mean, we want to win the whole thing this year. So in order to do that, we have to, you know, produce the same numbers, if not even better.
Right. The season didn't end the way you guys wanted it to. As you've had a chance to reflect on last year, what'd you learn about this team from a year ago?
I mean, we have pretty well chemistry on our team right now. On offense, I mean, chemistry's almost as high as it can be. But our defense is still kind of young, so I think they're going to have to, you know, rally together as a unit and really carry us, because, I mean, defense wins the big games, as we all know. So our offense is going to do great, I think, but I think it's the defense that's going to be important for us.
You're obviously one of the leaders on this team, you know, and that transcends to the offense. But can you be a leader to the defense as well?
Definitely. I think I can. When I play on offense, I can challenge the DBs, I think, by how hard I go at them, how hard I play, and how hard I push the DBs, because, I mean, we have some of the best receivers that they're going to see all year when they go up against us, so we can challenge them every day, make them better every day.
Was it a tough offseason for you? How much did you push yourself, you know, knowing that, you know, hey, this is a senior year that, you know, you want to make lasting memories for?
Yeah, I mean, this offseason was pretty hectic for me. I had a lot of camps to go to, like the opening, the Rivals 5-star challenge. There was a lot of camps I went to this offseason, but now it's over for me, no more 7-on-7, so this is my last year with actually high school tackle football, so I got to, you know, make the most out of it.
Right. When you look at your future, how easy or tough is it to make those decisions, you know, looking forward?
Still looking right now. It's pretty tough. Yeah, it's pretty tough.
But all systems go for the Monarchs this year?
Yeah, I mean, try to make the most out of the season, because, I mean, we all know how it ended last year, but I think we're going to be pretty good this year if we keep everyone healthy.
Visiting with CJ Parks, and, you know, the offense gets so much of the notoriety, you know, rightfully so. What do you guys feel like you can do for an encore this year that wasn't accomplished last year? Because you guys did a whole lot a year ago.
I think we could maybe capitalize on all the opportunities that we get, make the most out of every drive, and just try to stay on the field and score, like no more punts, just things like that. Just work on the little stuff and get our timing and all that down, and we should be fine.
Obviously, the idea is to come with something different to show, opposing defenses a little something different. Is that something you're working on with Coach and with JT this year? Is maybe showing something a little different that they teams didn't see from you guys a year ago?
Yeah, I think we'll have like a little bit different formations. Maybe use the tight end a little bit, just to throw people off, because we have so many weapons that you just never know what's coming at you. So that's good to have another addition to the team, like with the tight end and things like that.
Does that make it more fun for you? Obviously, as one of the main people on offense, but you know you have so many other people who can help out and so many weapons for JT to pick out in any given play.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty much a team guy, so I go, I play like the game. Just I let it come to me. I don't want to force anything, be aggravated because I'm not getting the ball, because I know at the end of the day, if I'm not getting it, someone else is getting it, and it's in good hands no matter what.
You guys accomplished so much a year ago, but I know the season didn't end quite the way you guys would have liked it to. Is there a little chip on everybody's shoulder coming into this year?
Yeah, you know, the 14-0, end on the 14-1, it's tough because you're undefeated the whole season and you lose the big one, so it's pretty tough. So, yeah, we're all playing with that chip, that mentality, like just something to prove. Even though we proved so much last year, we just have something more to prove.
What did you see out of your teammates in this offseason? What did you demand of them, and what did you see they demanded of themselves to get to that next level?
I think we all demanded like that brotherhood, just gelling as one, because there's so many young guys coming up, so there's no room for them to like, there's no room for us to give them, to let them slack off. So we have to just make, they have to grow up quick, and then we'll see what they're made of this Friday coming up.
This is it for you, as your modern-day career, as it winds down here. You know, what is it meant to be a Monarch?
It's been really good to play with Coach Rollinson. He's a player coach. He's players first. He goes off, doesn't care what anyone thinks, as long as his kids are happy, things like that. He builds great men. He teaches us great character, all that. You know, the three stripes are pride, poise, and courage, and he preaches that all day long. So it's been great to be a Monarch and play for Coach Rollo.
The offense gets so much of the notoriety in these parts, but, you know, the defense is such an integral part. When you guys sit down, you look at film, you know, together as a team, you know, is it fun to see how both sides, you know, really feed off each other?
Yes, sir, it's definitely fun. You know, everyone pushes each other to be better. Every day there's great competition, and we're just hungry, man.
Hungry is a good word, right? Because I know things didn't end like you guys wanted to a year ago, even though it was a great season. Did you guys come with a little chip on your shoulder?
Well, yes, sir. I transferred after the season ended. But within the first few weeks and months of just training, you could see it in their eyes, man. We're all hungry. We're still hungry.
Coming in as a new guy, what do you see here in this team and in this program?
In this team, just competition, being able to work hard with each other, you know, push each other, being like brothers.
What's the best part about being a Monarch?
Being a Monarch, I'd probably say the brotherhood, yeah, being together as a team.
You guys have been looking at each other, you know, practicing, you know, looking at teammates. Is it finally time to get a look at an opponent? Put your face mask into somebody, you know, wearing a different color uniform?
Yes, sir. You know, this last scrimmage against Edison, it was fun, man. We were all banging. That was our main thing. We just fresh meat, man. We're looking for the next one, too. So we're ready.
How good can this team be?
I think this team could be as good as we work, and we work pretty hard.
Thanks again for everyone out at Modern Day for hosting us, and good luck to the Monarchs again in this football season. Another quick break. When we come back, we're going to be focusing on Catholic Athletes for Christ, and we're going to talk to their president and founder, Ray McKenna, much more right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Mission St. Joseph and St. Jude Hospitals are proud to sponsor ChristFest, the Diocese of Orange's Christian Music Festival. We're Orange County's Catholic Healthcare Network, where delivering care is more than healing hearts or mending bones. We connect with you and your family by compassionately treating the miraculous person you are, body, mind, and spirit. Come out and find out more about us at ChristFest and connect with our physicians and caregivers, because your good health is music to our ears.
Let's welcome in Ray McKenna from Catholic Athletes for Christ. He is the president and the founder of the organization. Ray, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week.
My pleasure, Bob. Great to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. We want to talk about, obviously, your organization and what they do. Let me start off by asking you how you came up with the idea for putting this group together, Catholic Athletes for Christ.
Quickly, it's a lot of people's efforts, not just my own, but a number of friends of mine who are, my background is in baseball, Bob. We felt that there was a really need for a Catholic sports ministry for professional baseball players, much like there was and is for evangelical Protestants called Baseball Chapel. And we were working on that, and fortuitously, you may want to say providentially at the same time, St. John Paul the Great created the Vatican Sports Office, invited us over to Rome to meet with his representatives there at the Vatican, and our Catholic baseball ministry evolved into a all sports, all levels of sports Catholic sports ministry. So that's kind of how it came about.
I mean, if you're getting invited to the Vatican, you have to think, hey, this is divine intervention. I must be onto something here, right?
You know, it's funny. I still remember like it was yesterday, even though it was 2005, I think, the plane ride home, because I had these two thoughts running through my head, two equal and opposing thoughts. One was pure exhilaration, because this is something that I've been thinking about for a while, and I truly felt the Holy Spirit had put it on my heart. And the other was absolute dread, because it's just such a huge mission and so hard, and still even for today, it's so difficult for us to serve and accomplish the big mission field that we do have.
Yeah, you know, we'll talk about the Speakers Bureau as well, and I know you have a list of athletes and people within the sports community who will come out and speak to groups. But, you know, when you first were formulating the ideas in your head, what did you think you wanted this to be?
Mission is and it was and is the same. It's just very simple and twofold. It's to serve Catholic athletes, and since we're a sacramental church, that means assisting in providing the sacraments, Mass and confession most primarily. But we do have players who now have come through our ministry, you know, have been married, you know, through a CAC priest or, you know, otherwise. Player Grant Desme was the MVP of the Arizona Fall League, and the next year left the Oakland A's organization to become a priest. He's studying in the Norbertine Seminary, not far from you, probably out in California.
Right.
So that's the first aspect of the mission: serve Catholic athletes to practice their faith. And the second is evangelization. And the Sports Bureau is one of many examples of how we try to do that, to have athletes go out, share their faith, his or her faith, especially to young people, but to everybody in the church.
Ray McKenna joining us, the president and founder of Catholic Athletes for Christ. Yeah, I think maybe people don't realize that, you know, most of us get up and, you know, we go to church on Sunday. It's not always so easy for an athlete to be able to do that. Football players have lots to do on Sundays, obviously. Baseball players, you know, they got to go to work on Sundays. It's not always so easy just to get up and get out to church. Is it an idea of bringing the Mass to them?
It is, you know, and we have great attendance at the Masses we have all throughout Major League Baseball and the NFL. You know, in the Major League Baseball, we open the Masses to stadium personnel, and they're often forgotten about, too. There are a lot of people who work at stadiums, you know, and have to be there on home weekends who have a hard time in getting to Mass and barely can get to Mass at all because they have to be there on a Saturday afternoon and early on a Sunday morning or through the entirety of the day. So, that's the whole idea, is to, you know, make it a little easier in the busyness of an in-season schedule to receive the sacraments.
I'm sure there's a high level of gratefulness, you know, from all these people who thank you for bringing this to us. Otherwise, we may not have access to it.
We've had a great deal of gratitude expressed towards us, so we're happy to see that.
You know, you talk about, you know, the mission of it. I know the Speakers Bureau. Was that something natural from the beginning, or was that something that kind of evolved along the way?
One of our initial board members, a volleyball player from South Carolina, who moved on. She's a mom of six, seven children. Tina Andres, it was her brainchild. She started it. She got it going, and it's a great way to get athletes to go out and share, you know, their faith all around the country.
Right. Do you find athletes were willing, chomping at the bit, words, you know?
There was a lot of skepticism, Bob, when we began, among well-meaning, well-intentioned folks who wanted to see our mission succeed, that athletes would be receptive. But our experience has been quite to the contrary. Athletes are, when asked, are very excited to go out and share their faith.
Give us kind of a short list of maybe some of the athletes that are involved that have jumped on board.
Well, we have over 100, but some of the more prominent names are Mike Sweeney, Mike Piazza, Jack Del Rio, Philip Rivers, Jeff Supon, Daryl Miller, who's Major League Baseball from out your way, brother of famous basketball player Reggie Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excluding and forgetting some other big names. We have a lot of, and even the non-big names are really good speakers.
Ray McKenna joining us, the president and founder of Catholic Athletes for Christ. You're based on the East Coast, but I imagine that this is something that's grown nationwide and maybe even worldwide?
We're in Alexandria, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C., but we have a presence in almost every state, and we do have some growing ministries, you know, around the world, and we're working, obviously, with Rome and the Vatican and others who are, you know, sharing this mission of John Paul II throughout the world, we've come to know and beginning to work with.
I suppose like any mission, it starts in the beginning of it. You know, you have an idea of where you'd like it to be, and then it just sort of grows organically, for lack of a better word, I guess, on its own. When you look back now to that plane ride home and to where Catholic Athletes for Christ is now, could you have imagined what it's grown to?
No, honestly, no. I'm very gratified by it. I was interviewed last year by a Houston Catholic newspaper in Houston about Catholic Athletes for Christ, and they asked me if there had been any confirming moment, and there have been a few, but one that just jumps to mind, if I might just share, is I received a letter, a note, and a contribution, too, from somebody who I'm sure is very familiar to your listeners and actually to all sports fans, the legendary Dodger broadcaster Vin Scully, who had come to be our reader at Mass at Dodger Stadium for many years. He sent a very kind note in and said a contribution to just express how much he appreciated our ministry. And, you know, it literally brought tears to my eyes. It overwhelmed me then and still does when I think about it.
Such an affirmation to have somebody of that stature say, hey, I support what you're doing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. As I mentioned, the Speakers Bureau, when they get out and get a chance to speak, obviously our show focuses on the Trinity League out here on the West Coast, and which is known nationwide, obviously, and you know, the high school level of sports here. I would imagine it's sort of a natural to have some of these speakers come out and talk to high school and even younger age kids.
Yeah, and it's really providential, I mean, that we're speaking about the Trinity League because so many of the athletes who are involved with CAC have come through the Trinity League. I think of Danny Espinosa, who was one of our guys here in Washington, D.C. with the Nationals up until this year, and I'm pretty sure he played in the Trinity League.
He did, yeah. He went to Modern Day.
Modern Day, and I think Daryl Miller Jr.,
yes,
who's in the Kansas City Royals organization. I was just with Daryl Jr. in spring training.
He went to Servite. Yeah.
And and then there's a slew of others who are involved with CAC who are graduates or still participatory. In fact, Jay Sarris in the Trinity League, am I right about
Jay? Yes, they are, yes.
The athletic director, Chris Ledyard, is a long-standing friend of CAC's and our baseball retreat and known Chris for many, many years.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of having Chris Ledyard on our show a couple of months back, and what a great individual. I mean, Jay Sarris could not have found a better person to come in and run their athletic program.
Amen. Love that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned this kind of growing out of what evangelicals had. Did you find that a lot of Catholic athletes were maybe saying, hey, this really fills a void for us?
Absolutely. In fact, if I might mention to your listeners, we're really excited. Tomorrow is our unveiling of a new effort, first-time effort. We're having the CAC Top 25 High School Football Rankings.
Oh, I love that.
You know, the first time ever there's been a ranking of Catholic schools, and I'm pretty certain a few schools in the Sarah League are going to be pretty prominently featured. You know, it's just a way we try to focus on the teams, the players, the administrators, guys like Chris Ledyard, who are doing a great job but are great Catholics, because I think sometimes we lose sight of that fact. We're maybe a little too close to the trees to see the forest of what great programs we have as Catholics, and also, you know, what a great contribution the church makes to our Catholic athletics.
It's so true. I mean, you know, when you look at all the great Catholic institutions we have, I tell everybody when I go out and interview, I get the privilege of being able to go on the campus of all these great Catholic, you know, high schools and work with these people, these coaches and these athletes and administrators, and they're just all top notch. You know, it's not by accident how well run and how great all these schools are.
In fact, I was just here in the East Coast taking my youngest son. He's going to his college tour list this year. We went to Mount St. Mary's College, which is in Emmitsburg, Maryland, and we'd been at Belmont Abbey, which is run by my friend Dr. Bill Fierfelder, who's on our board. And both of them have stories that are prominently featured when you go into the admissions office about the visits of Babe Ruth when he was with the Yankees and in his barnstorming days with the Yankees and spring training, and how he met with the priests and, you know, was very, you know, very much a practicing Catholic. And there's just so many great Catholic players, and I don't know that we've done a good enough job in promoting their Catholicism and who they are to our, you know, younger folks.
Yeah, so funny. And actually, you know, it was going to be my next question is, you know, how many great Catholic athletes that are out there that we don't know? I mean, then this really is a way for them maybe to say, hey, I would love to find a way to share my faith. Now I have an outlet for that.
Yeah, a quick story, if I may share with your listeners, is David Eckstein, who from out your way.
Absolutely.
World Series champion shortstop for the Angels. When he won the World Series, he received in the mail the B'nai B'rith Award for being the Jewish Player of the Year. And they had made an assumption based on his last name that he was Jewish. And he's actually a practicing Catholic. And he wrote back and said, thanks for the award. I can't accept it. I'm a practicing Catholic. And I tell this story far and wide because I think, you know, did the Catholic Church ever honor David Eckstein for, you know, being a great Catholic athlete? And that's some of the types of things we're trying to do.
Yeah, I remember that story. I remember hearing that story and thinking how funny it was, you know, that somebody didn't do their homework on that one.
And that's why, going back to Vin again, Vin Scully was kind enough to record the rosary for us, and it's been incredibly popular. It's available on our website and throughout Catholic bookstores all over the country, but especially in Southern California. It's just another way, and not everybody that knows Vin Scully knows what an incredibly humble and devout Catholic he is.
Yeah, and I didn't know that either. And here I am in Southern California as a sports reporter here for many years, and I didn't know how involved, you know, Vin was, you know, with his faith.
Thank you very much for this opportunity, and good luck with your show. I think it's really the work of God that you're doing, so Godspeed to you.
Thank you so much, and same to you, and we'll keep in touch. That's Ray McKenna, the president and founder of Catholic Athletes for Christ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We'll have more right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. And we were to a couple of moments here, and I'm joined by Jim Governale, who is one of the engineers here at Immaculate Heart Radio. And,
behind the scenes.
A big baseball fan, which is why I wanted to talk to you. And, you know, we're going to bring on the show every now and then when we have some topics to talk about, because I know you're a big sports fan and want to be able to kind of go back and forth with you a little bit. And I know you're a big Vin Scully fan, and you've got some stories about Vin Scully. You know, this is the end. For Vin, finally, I mean, after all of our lifetimes, we only know Vin Scully as the voice of the Dodgers.
Exactly.
Your thoughts right now is it winds down as a huge Dodger fan.
Well, you know, Bob, like you, as far as I know, I know you grew up here in SoCal.
I did.
So did I.
Mm-hmm.
North Orange County, I grew up in La Habra, and dating back to the days of, you know, Garvey Lopes, Russell and Say, you know, we're talking about middle 70s, when my dad would take my brother and I to ball games at Dodger Stadium. And of course, you know, just like Chick Hearn and just like the sports landscape of SoCal, I grew up listening to Vinny on the radio. He was Dodgers, you know? So a longtime Dodger fan, but I guess the unique Vin Scully sort of twist story that I have is my uncle, in 1962, my uncle was a teenager. He was about 14 in 1962 when a young Dodger pitcher named Sandy Koufax was throwing a no-hitter, and my Uncle David had this big old bulky reel-to-reel deck, and he thought, wow, this is cool. The Dodgers pitcher's throwing a no-hitter. I'm going to tape the end of the game. Well, he ended up taping the tail end of Sandy Koufax's first no-hitter back in June of 62, and he caught kind of the post-game interview. Many years later, here I am, again, longtime Dodger fan, having worked in radio for several years. My grandmother gave me a box of these old reel-to-reel tapes, these 7-inch reels, and on top of one of those reels, it said, Koufax no-hitter. And I remember thinking, well, I'll have to take this into the studio, string it up on the old reel-to-reel deck, and digitize it and see what's on there. But it didn't really cross my mind that that audio recording was a one-of-a-kind.
Right.
That they had not captured that audio.
That's amazing. I mean, the Dodgers, now you did approach the Dodgers eventually with this gem of audio, and they were, what was their reaction to it?
You know, what's amazing is I was working in radio at the time. I had access to digital recorders and whatnot and devices to clean up the audio. I burned it to a CD. I just sat on it for actually a number of years, or probably about 5 years.
Huh.
And I remember in my mind thinking to myself, I got to send this to Vin Scully. I got to send this to Vin. What if he doesn't have a copy of this? Now, it didn't really dawn on me that that did not exist, that they didn't already have it, until a number of years went by when I eventually connected with a gentleman who worked for the Dodgers named Mark Langell, who's the team historian, come to find out that they did not have that audio. And I sent an email to the powers that be over at the Baseball Hall of Fame to see if they had it, and they didn't have it either.
Wow.
So all of a sudden, Mark Langell and a few people in the brass there at the Dodgers, they were my best friends. They were looking at me like...
I bet they were.
They were rolling out the red carpet for me, you know? But what ended up happening was I took the audio and I kind of gifted it to the Dodgers, you know, just out of appreciation for my love for Vin Scully and my respect for him and just respect for the legend of such a wonderful humanitarian and great guy in Sandy Koufax. And I just thought, you know what? This belongs to the Dodgers. And I wasn't looking for financial gain per se at all. And the LA Times kind of picked up the story and I got a nice little story right up in the LA Times.
How cool is that? So I guess for all the years that Vinny's been in Southern California, we all have a Vin Scully story. I have mine real quick. On my 18th birthday, my grandmother handed me this letter. And it was addressed to me from Dodgertown, Vero Beach. And
oh, my goodness.
I opened it up inside, and she had written Vin Scully and Chick Hearn. Chick Hearn did not return the letter, but Vin Scully did. And it just said, Dear Bob, and, you know, had a little advice for me. And here's, you know, your grandmother tells me you want to get into broadcasting. And to a kid, he's a big baseball fan and a big Vin Scully fan. I mean, it was just, it meant everything. It's hand-signed. And amazing. I still have it. I mean, it's just, you know, I look back on it, and I think, wow, as a kid, you know, starting out in the business, the, how much that meant. To get that from a legend, you know, like Vince, that he would take the time to write me and just give a little, you know, words of advice, words of wisdom at the time. I mean, so I you know, many of us across Southern California have our stories intertwined with Vin Scully because he's been such a class act and just part of the fabric here of Southern California.
Well, exactly. And in fact, I saw that little note that you posted on your Facebook.
I did post it on my Facebook.
And I thought, how cool is that? But, you know, in the little LA Times write-up where they talked about, you know, the discovery of this audio, the writer was a guy named Jerry Crow, and Jerry spoke to Vinny. And at the time, Vin had not heard the audio that I'd given to the team, but he said something like, I really appreciate it. I'll treasure it. And I was like, wow, Vinny's talking about treasuring something that I gave to the Dodgers.
Right.
But just in his humble way, Vinny was excited, not so much for getting his hands on the audio. He was excited because part of the play-by-play, part of the announcing on there was Jerry Doggett, another old Dodger broadcaster.
Absolutely.
And he and Vinny were such close friends, and Jerry's been deceased for 15 or so years. But Vinny was so excited that he was going to be able to hear the voice of his dear friend, Jerry Doggett. I mean, that's what meant the most to him.
How neat is that? Yeah, that's really something. Now, for fans out there that think, oh, this is it. We're not going to ever hear Vin Scully again. But there is still a chance to listen to Vin Scully. And for Catholics out there, maybe one of the things maybe people don't know about Vin Scully, you know, an Irish Catholic himself. And
exactly.
attend Mass a lot at the stadium. And it's funny because Kevin O'Malley, who's the representative with Catholic Athletes for Christ, who first turned us on to this story we're about to tell. He told me there's nothing like going to Mass and hearing Vin do one of the readings.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine? You know, from the book of Deuteronomy. Oh. I'm doing a bad Vin Scully impersonation. But
it's a long drive.
Can you imagine, right, hearing Vin do one or two of the readings at Mass? I mean, how fun would that be?
Wow.
But Vin, they got Vin to record the Holy Rosary.
Mm.
With all the mysteries and everything, and it's available for purchase now through Catholic Athletes for Christ. In fact, you can go to their website, catholicathletesforchrist.org /rosary, and it's available for purchase. You can download it, you know, on your different platforms, onto your phone, or your devices, or whatever.
What a gift that would be.
And you can actually pray the rosary with Vin Scully. I mean, imagine that, right?
Amazing. I mean, that is awesome. Now, don't we have a clip from that we're going to get to play?
We do have a clip, so go ahead and listen to this.
The third joyful mystery, the Nativity. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields, keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Well, Jim, what more can be said? Woo. I mean, it makes me want to pray the rosary a little more often now.
That's a goosebump moment there, hearing Vinny doing the mysteries.
Yeah, it really is. It's really something he was happy to do. Just a little something to, you know, as Vinny, and we're not losing him. He's not going anywhere. He's just retiring. Once again, the website is CatholicAthletesForChrist.org/rosary. Go ahead and download it and listen to the great Vince Scully read you the rosary as you do your daily prayers. God bless everybody. Jim, I want to thank you for sharing time with us
and
your story. And as Vinny might say, a pleasant good evening to you. I want to thank my guests, Martin Dugard and Aidan Crowley. For more information on our show, please visit OCCatholic.com/radio. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View.